in, I'm not talking about, you know, there's a lot of problems, there's a lot of broken parts in the church as a whole. I'm talking about in the whole world. But I'm talking about this church, this community, and this people. And the reason I'm saying this is because I was reminded of something several times throughout the week. But our body, as far as Faith Temple, has some broken parts. Some are not only broken, but they're shattered. And the reason is because of choices that individuals has made. And, you know, not everybody's going to be a song leader. Not everybody's going to be a pastor. Not everybody's going to be an evangelist. Not everybody's going to be a teacher. But what we have to do is be satisfied in a position God called us to. We have to be willing to do what God called us to do. And you look around, and I could tell you that over the last few days, you know, I found myself just calling out names to the Lord. But I was reminded of this, and several weeks ago, probably well over a month ago, I got a phone call. The phone call was from Brother Chad. And when you say hello and he says, "Hey, you got some time? Get ready." Because he's got something. But he shared a dream that he had with me. And just, you know, the first part of the week, I was in my shop, and just late one afternoon, I walked in there to get something. And I grabbed what I needed, and I'm walking out. And when I turned out the lights, in my spirit, I heard this. It says, "Who's bailing out the boat?" Because he had a dream about a boat sinking. And he named some people. And just the other day again, you know, and then this afternoon, it just came back. About bailing out the boat, because the boat's sinking. But he had a dream that he was in a boat with a couple guys, and the boat was sinking, and he said he grabbed the bucket and started bailing. But when he looked, he was the only one bailing. Nobody else was bailing. And listen, there's some broken parts in our body. There's some that the boat is full of water. But look back. You know, he told me, he said, "I'm on the front of the boat and I'm bailing," and I look back and the other two guys are just standing there. There's some that the boat sank and they're not even standing here anymore. See, the body's many members. But unless we're content being the member of the body that God called us to be, we'll always be uneasy. We'll always have question. We'll always wonder. But one thing I could tell you, you know, I told my wife, I said the other day, I listened to 33. But there was something about it that I just had to hear it again. See, some boats are sinking. But when we look back in the Word, in the preaching of God's Word, many times our pastor, the speaker, has grabbed the bucket and began to bail. But that person, The owner of the vessel has just stood there and watched. And they lived in question. They lived in doubt. They lived in fear. And they're not here. And I stood there just on Friday. I was standing in my shop and just the Lord reminded me that Friday of what Brother Chad said. I said, Father, one more time, have grace. Let your mercy be reached out. Let your grace be reached out one more time. See, it's troublesome. It's bothering. It's been a tough week. Not because I had trouble serving God. It's because my heart was broken. My heart's been troubled. Because I look around and I see people that if they're not careful, they're going to find themselves 7 times worse than they were before they came. And it's not a good place to be in. It's not a good place to be in. But I said, Father, one more time, let your spirit begin a deal. Cause your presence to draw by your spirit. And listen, I believe with everything in me that at that moment, at that time, the Spirit of God began a deal. I believe that at that time that his presence went forth and began to tug at people's hearts. See, it's more to it than just coming to church and saying we're going to do the Torah. What about when we're not here? What about when nobody else is around? See, I had to come to a realization in my life a long time ago that my pastor can't serve God for me. My wife can't serve God for me. And look, I wish. You don't know how bad. I wish it was up to me. You don't know how bad Pastor wish it would be up to him because we make it so easy. But you know what? I looked in the Word of God time and time again. I've stood when nobody else was around. Nobody else was around in that shop and it was just me and the Lord. And I just can't find what's so hard about serving God. What's so hard about letting things go, the muck and the mire that I was in, the filth and the sin that I was in. What's so hard about letting that stuff go and serving the Almighty God of creation, the God that spoke all things into existence until it got to man. And he knelt down on the ground and he formed us in his likeness, in his image, and he breathed the breath of life. But you see, sometimes we got to pick up the bucket. Sometimes we got to get tired of standing in the water and we got to start bailing. Let me tell you something else I was reminded of. I begin to think about Koinonia. Koinonia is not Koinonia without God. If I don't come and I don't have Koinonia in God's, in a spirit with God, with my Father, then I'm not Koinonian. It's not about just getting a group together. See, Koinonia has to live throughout the year. And it could be just you and somebody else. But that spirit, there has to be a uplifting by the Spirit of God from one to the other. and you have a real koinonia. And listen, and everybody knows as well as I know, there are some people that comes to koinonia just because it's a fishing trip. But there are some that comes because they want to be ministered to. But how can I do koinonia? And this is what I felt in my spirit. How can I do koinonia if I'm not doing what God called me to do? See, we want to show up for the event. Let me tell you something else that happened. I'm standing there. Church was the furthest thing from my mind. And all of a sudden, I hear in my spirit, was Noah building the ark necessary? Absolutely, it was necessary. See, it wouldn't be so strange if you call the lumber company and you get them to deliver you a load of lumber to some shipyard somewhere and start building an ark. But God had Noah do it, and it wasn't too close to water. And it was strange, but it was necessary. And let me tell you something. The scary part of what the Lord showed me. Noah was told how to build it. He was told exactly how to cut the wood, how to put it together, how to lay it out. How many decks and how many stories it should have. He was told how many of each different animals to bring on. And that door was open for whosoever would enter. Thank God the animals had enough sense to listen. Because only 8 humans listened. And I don't know about your Bible, but my Bible says when they entered the ark, that God shut the door. Listen, I can shut the door. Pastor can shut the door. You can shut the door. And it can be open. But when God shuts the door, it's over. And I believe this with all my heart by the Spirit of God, that our Father's in this position, and he's about to reach out and he's about to shut some doors. And it's going to be bad. But I pray, God, one more time, your mercy and grace. One more time, draw by your Spirit. See, I don't want to give up on people. But everybody in this community, everybody that has ever walked through the doors of this church building, has to come to a realization that it's a relationship between them and God. See, my wife, even though we're called to do ministry together, she can't do what God called me to do. And I can't do what God called her to do. But I got to be willing to say, yes, Lord. If she backs out tomorrow and says, I'm not going, I got to be willing to go. And if I say, no, I just quit. I'm not going back. I give up. My boat sunk. I'm not bailing. I'm just going to go ahead and drown. She's got to be willing to say, Lord, if this relationship's not between me, you, and my husband, but it's between me and you. It's a personal, one-on-one, you and God, me and God relationship. And nobody in this world should be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing should be able to separate us. But it takes so little. You know, I asked somebody the question the other day. I said, How come me and you might have a disagreement? And we're both in church. We're both supposed to be serving God. But we have a disagreement you might say something I don't agree with, or I might say something you don't agree with, then we take it out on God. I have a guy told me, he said he was coming to church, but Pastor ran him off the crab lease. Well, he ran you off. God didn't. Don't be mad at God. Just go serve God. Don't blame God for what somebody else done. But you see, people's looking for an excuse. You don't have to look long to get an excuse. You don't have to look hard. And most of the time, you don't have to look twice. But don't blame God for something I do you. Because he didn't do it to you. So quit taking it out on him and serving. Honor him. Love him. Spend time with him. See, that's why when a boat sinks, we don't care, because we don't spend enough time with God, and we don't even realize that the boat's full of water and we're about to perish. But I'm telling you, I believe that God is in a position where he's about to grab the door and shut the door. And it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. And listen, those that cause you, because they do it all the time, says, oh, what was service like? Tell them just get the CD. You know what's so awesome about serving God? You can be off somewhere working and miss a service, but because it's a personal relationship, he's right there. Because it's between you and him, he always shows up. And I can promise you, there ain't a person that has ever been in this church that's trying to make up their mind right now whether or not they're going to serve God or go back to what they came from. There ain't one that can say God ever failed them, because he ain't never failed nobody. But many times, I've heard the word. I've seen and I've heard when people went and they got, listen, when you talk to them and you tried encouraging them, you know what you were doing? You had the bucket and you were bailing out. You had the bucket and you were bailing out. But let's not get weary in well doing. As God's beginning to reach out with grace and mercy, let's be willing as a church, as a body, to bail one more time. It might seem like we're the only one bailing, but let's be willing to grab the bucket one more time so that nobody will perish. See, I'm talking about your family. I'm talking about my family. I'm talking about my friends, your friends. Now, I don't want to see nobody. I said, I don't want to see none of them miss God. And I sure don't want to see them seven times worse than they were before they got here. But let's be the body. Let's be the part of the body God called us to be. See, without my feet, my body couldn't get nowhere to do what God called me to do. And sometimes we might just feel like we're the feet. We might just feel like we're the hand, but it takes the whole body pulling together. But I'm asking you as a church that at some point, from the time you get home till you leave in the morning, when you get that nudge, it might be in the wee hours of the morning, and that name pops across your mind, be willing to call out that name and ask God to bring them in. One more time, Father. One more time. Listen, one thing we don't want to do is fall into the hands of an angry God. Because he loves, he cares, he's full of grace and mercy. But there's coming a time that we'll stand before him as our judge. And but it's because of what she done ain't gonna work. It's because of what he done ain't gonna work. Because it'd be us and God. So when you think about it, if it's gonna be me and God when I'm being judged, I'm gonna be a whole lot better off being me and God right now and getting everything right. Look, you might slip and you might fall. Get up, dust yourself off, and keep going. You know, sometimes we need to watch the little ones. You know, sometimes they fall and they get up and they got a scrape on their hand. They dust their hands up and say, I'm all right, I'm good. But see, as adults, we slip and we fall and we look around and see who tripped us. And it don't mean somebody tripped us. But we got to be willing to dust ourselves off and keep going and serve God. Let's all stand.